Morning, carrying on our limit of copied time. This is Push Lima for Yosef Dubin Chela, the search or Chole Yisrael. Bishus
Yankee.
Yeah, up to Klal Vov. Simon Zion. The whole Zahu, we're talking about could they tray, whether you can believe him, you can't believe him. We ended up by saying that it doesn't apply anymore. Bam Kavetra, is that correct, Yankee?
Yep.
Doesn't apply anymore, right. V'chol zohu bizman ha-talmud. It only applied at the time of the Gemara. Aval hayom lefi ma she'eskimu ha-poskim. Nowadays, according to what the poskim have agreed, she'ein lo la'odom loma, no one can say, she'ploni mehemen le kavetra, that this person is believed like two people, delo meshaka, they never lies. Therefore, it's forbidden for him to accept what he says, to believe what he says, when he's telling him a rechilus. It's only allowed, rak lochush b'dover, he's allowed to suspect it, it might be true, but he's not allowed to believe it. And without this, Ein motzi sheyishlemu kol atanoim shaneskorim besifim heitavot. Without this, it is not common to fulfill all the conditions which are mentioned in Sif 5 and 6. And those were required in order to believe a mehem kavetre. Umizeh tira kama anoshim toim b'inyan zeh. And from this, we see how people can make a mistake. Shehem nishorim isra sipa loshen hara rechilas, that they are careful about speaking loshen hara and rechilas, the kabbalosom, and receiving it imhem shomin zeh ma'achirim, if they hear it from other people. The mitzvah we carry on Sunday. Started there the Torahway, Northwest London, Friday, Yud. Test Kislev, 20th of December, yeah. Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Shlita.
Pasha.
Pasha theme. This week's Torah was sponsored. This course, the Shlomo Shalachinu Yoshevei Kachol. This course,
okay, good morning. It's always a pleasure to be here. I want to share with you Parshas Vayeshev. It's such a beautiful sedra, and four really fabulous ideas on this week's parsha. The starting point is the beginning of the parsha, the dreams that Yosef has. The pasuk says, let's take a look at the first, if you're listening online, you ever want the handout, email me at j.golko@gmail.com, I'll send you the handout. Vayachalom Yosef Chaloy. So Yosef HaSadik has a dream. And he tells them the dream, and they continue to hate him. And there are two dreams. What is the first dream? Says the Pasuk there in Pasuk Zayin, we're bundling sheaves in the field. And the other sheaves are bowing down to my sheaf. You're trying to lord it over us. And they continue to hate him. Then the pasuk continues in pasuk tes, and we're told of the second dream. What's the second dream? The sun and the moon and the 11 stars are bowing down to me. Etc. When the brothers are jealous. Now, lots to say, but just two striking problems. Problem number one is there's interesting differences between the two dreams. Problem number one is, in the first dream, the 11 sheaves are bowing down to his sheaf. They're bowing down, not to Yosef, but to his sheaf. In the second dream, it says, Hashemesh vayorech v'achad asakechovim mishtachovim li, to Yosef himself. Why the difference? That's number one. Why isn't it therefore in the first dream that they're also bowing down to Yosef himself? Why to his sheaf? And also an interesting difference is that in the first dream, the word used is sinna, that they hate him because of the dream that he's relating to them. But in the second dream, it's vayikanu boyachid, they're jealous of him. Why does the Torah switch from sinna to kinna? Now both of these questions are addressed by the Beis Halevi, and I'll share with you his answer soon, but in order to sort of build up to his answer, there's a hakdama. The hakdama begins with a story. The story is that a fellow once went to the Briskerov, and he was an American lawyer who came to Eretz Yisrael. He was in Eretz Yisrael, and he was there in the 1950s. He wants to visit the Briskerov. So he said, Shalom Aleichem. He said, who are you? He said, my name is so-and-so. I'm a lawyer from New York. Uh-huh. And tell me, who are you? So this thing is of, I just told you, maybe you didn't hear him or something. My name is so-and-so, I'm a lawyer from New York. And tell me, who are you? This thing is of, this is the great Briskerov, the greatest Talmid Chacham of our day. This is three. So he said, my name is so-and-so, I'm a lawyer from New York. The Briskerov said to him, I heard you all three times. I didn't ask you how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you parnasa. I asked you who you are. Why are you defining yourself by your occupation? Now, that's the intro to an interesting medrash. Take a look at the second box on the page. Parshas Noach begins, Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik tomohi b'dayrei sovis v'lekim ishalich Noach. He's given tremendous praise. Then, at the end of the sedra, v'yochel Noach ish ha'adom v'yitakerem. Noach begins the parsha as Ish Sadik Esoelekim Ishalech Noach, and he ends off the parsha as Ishua Doma. Contrast that to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu begins his life in the beginning of Parsha Shmois, V'toymar no Ish Mitzri Tzilonu Miyad Haroyim. He's described as an Ish Mitzri. And at the end of the Torah, in V'zois HaBrocha Sheberach Moshe Ishoelekim. So Noach starts off Ish Sadik, and ends off as Ishua Doma, and Moshe Rabbeinu has a journey the other way, Ish Mitzri, and he ends off as Ishua Lekim. Says the Medrash, Chaviv Moshe min Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu was greater, was more precious than Noach. Why? Because Noach mishenikra Ish Sadik nikra Ishua Doma, avu Moshe mishenikra Ish Mitzri nikra Ishua Lekim. Contrasting journeys, as it were. Very good, but I don't understand the Medrash. Because Noach was an Ishua Doma from the outset as well. He was a farmer from day one. I'll tell you more than that. He was not only a farmer from day one, he was actually called Noach because of the potential that he had, which he fulfilled, to help people in the agricultural world. How so? Because the Pasuk says, Vayikre Shemoy Noach. Why was he called Noach? Zeyinachamenu ma'asenu. So people, says Rashi, mistakenly understand the word Noach is Menachem, it's comfort. Doesn't mean that. Says Rashi, Noach is from the Lashon of he will cause us to rest. How so? Because Noach he introduced the first farming tools in the world. Till then, farming was very, very difficult. How you ploughed exactly with your hand and you did it. But he created tools that would you put onto the back of the ox, and that would help plough the ground. It made life a lot easier. So Noach is from the Lashon of Yonach. He helped people rest. So if that's the case, how can the Medrash say that Noach started off Ish Sadik, ended off as an Ishua Doma, but he started off life as Ishua Doma? He was always involved in agriculture. The explanation is this. After the Mabul, Noach is criticized by Chazal for being too caught up in his work. The agriculture became a primary focus of his life, and he was consumed by it. Masha'en Kain, previously, he was a tzaddik who happened to be involved in farming. What the Torah is describing is the definition of the person. Ish Mitzri is who he began. That's what he was, and he became Ish Olikim. Masha'in Kein Noach, says the Medrash, started off as an Ish Sadik, and then Lefi Madrigosoi, he was called Ish Hu'adoma. Now, we see this elsewhere. The other famous example is, of course, Yonah. In Maftah Yonah, we read on Yom Kippur afternoon, we're familiar with the story. Yonah is given the mission to go tell the Nevuah to Nineveh. He tries to escape his destiny. He runs onto the boat. He falls asleep. There's a storm. The sailors wake him up. And they ask him a series of questions. If you look at the bottom, the penultimate box, Vayomrei lov, Hagidah nolonu, please tell us, Ma melachtecha, what is your work? Me'ayin tovo, where'd you come from? Ma'artecha, what's your nationality? What's your country? Be'ezem me'ezem amato, which people are you from? A whole series of questions. What does Yonah respond? Vayom aleihem ivri onoichi. Ich bin ayid. Vesashem elokei hashamayim ani yorei. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Tugendhat's WhatsApp status is, you know, I don't know how you do actually. On your phone, you can actually say, I've got another friend, a colleague of mine in work. His one is, in a meeting, please disturb. Right? that's what his one says. Yeah? That's his one. But Rabbi Tugendhat's one is, ivri onoichi. Yeah, that's that, because at the end of the day, that answers most of life's questions. That's the question. Ivri Anochi answers the four questions. That's who I am. Now, all of that was an introduction to the Beis HaLevi. What's the Beis HaLevi? Again, the two questions are, why is it that in the first dream, Yosef says, V'atishtachavim la'lu mosi, and in the second dream, it's mishtachavim li, to me personally, and in the first dream, it's sinno, and in the second dream, it's kinno. Says the Beis HaLevi, V'ho'inyin, de b'chaloim harishin, in the first dream, ne'ma lo she'yie godl me'echov ba'oyshe uva'atzlochus olim hazeh. It's referring to sheaves of wheat and farming in the fields. It's referring to his success in the material, physical world. V'echov ho'yu nitzrochim lo, and his brothers would need him, le'lechem u'leparnoso, for bread and for parnoso. V'alkein, heru la'chaloim, b'tvua. Therefore, the dream showed tavua sheyu ma'almim alumim, that they were bundling up sheaves of wheat and barley. Va'alumosay koman, his one stood up straight. Va'alumosay mishtachavul alumosay, and their sheaves bowed down to that standing sheaf. Dezer moira panosa mezoyle sheyat srichim lay. Av b'chaloyim asheni, but in the secondary, heru lo yisroine aleihem be'inyone ruchnius. He showed his superiority in the spiritual matters. It's referring to spiritual matters, lofty, sort of universal, mazolus, the zodiac, etc. And sadik is yisoid olam. It's referring to spiritual matters, says the Beis HaLevi. Now, turning over the page, v'hine. Milas ha'oshev ha'atzlochus ha'gufnius. Physical, material, financial success. It doesn't change the intrinsic value of the person. The rich person is not a superior person, not a better person than the person who has not got money, because the other guy has a bigger bank balance. They're sort of external, superficial differences. But the rich and the poor person are the same people. Just because this guy's got more money doesn't make him better. But when it comes to degrees in ruchni, if a person learns and knows and his avoda and his midas, anyone who is better than another person, it's an intrinsic advantage and an intrinsic improvement of the person. It's the actual person is improved and different. Therefore, Valkane, next paragraph. B'chaloy morishan, in the first dream, when the other sheaves are bowing down to my sheaf, says Yosef, not they're not bowing down to him. He's not saying that I'm better than you, that I will have more wealth than you, And that's not part of me. It's not intrinsic to me. Therefore, they're bowing down to my sheaf and not to me. But in the second dream, which suggests that he was superior spiritually, they're bowing down to me because that's who I am. I myself intrinsically a superior. Balkane, and therefore, in the first dream, we don't mention the word kinner at all. The shvatim, tzadikim, on their madrega, they're not jealous of somebody else's financial success. They just hated, they were upset with him because they thought they're going to need him. And he's lording it over them. So therefore, the correct word is sin, not kinner. But in the second dream, which suggests spiritual superiority, that's a permitted form of jealousy. For example, kina sofrim, be jealous of another person's yira shamayim. So the two answers. The two questions are now both perfectly answered. Why is it in the first dream it's Vatishtachavena la alumosi? And the second dream it's Vatishtachavimli? The answer is because the first dream refers to financial superiority. That's extrinsic to the person. So they're bowing down, not to me, but to my sheep. And in the second dream, it's talking about Milas and Ruchnius, therefore Mishtachavimli. And that's why in the first dream it's talking about Sinna. Because he's lording it over them. And the second one is kinna, because he's jealous of their spiritual standing. And that's why, by the way, I think it could be that the Torah, when it refers to the wealth of Yitzchak and refers to the wealth of Yaakov Avinu, it uses interesting expressions. It says with Yitzchak, Vayigdal ho'ish. And with Yaakov, it says, Vayifreitz ho'ish. We know who they are. Tell me their names. Maybe what the Torah is suggesting is it uses this anonymous ish because it wants to refer that it's not the intrinsic person. It's not that Yitzchak became wealthy, it's not Yaakov became wealthy. It's an extrinsic value. This is something else that they happen to happen to them. So it refers to them anonymously. Did you want to ask something?
I was going to say that normally it's the other way around. People are jealous of other people's wealth. When there's like a philosophical difference in spiritual matters, that's when you have hatred between religions.
So they tell a story. I think it was Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that a fellow came to him, a rich man, and I can't remember exactly why he came, what the story was, and I think Reb Chaim wanted to, well, maybe it was Reb Steinman, I forget which, and he wanted to put this fellow in his place a little bit. So he said, tell me, which Masechta do you know? So, I'm a businessman, that's not my thing. Yeah, okay, so which Perek and Masechta do you know? That's not my thing. A daf, one daf, you know? No. So that's right, because the guy came, he was asking about Ayin Hara. He was worried, he was going to give a big donation to someone, he was worried about Ayin Hara. So then he had this conversation, and he said, one daf? No. He goes, don't worry, you give the donation, no one's going to be jealous of you. Yeah? So it depends how, in the world we live, sometimes. Okay, let's go weiter. Now, for this next vault, we need two thumbs. Yeah, and sometimes when you give a chakir, you need one thumb. But for this dream, we need two thumbs. What's pshat? You'll see. Listen to this. So he told over the dreams, and Yaakov Avinu realized that the brothers were getting upset with him, so he wanted to calm down the situation. What is this dream that you dreamt? It's all nonsense, because me and your mother are going to bow down to you. What's he saying? Says Rashi, your mother Rachel is no longer alive. It's referring to Bila, but he was trying to calm down the situation. Fine. So what do you see? He's trying to allude to the fact that Rachel is dead. Rachel Mesa. Now, this is where you take the right thumb. Okay? Take the right thumb, please, and put it over the words Mechaloim Hazeh. Seriously, put it over the word Mechaloim Hazeh. And take your left thumb and put it over the words Hovoi Novoi. But expose the first letter of the Hovoi and expose the last letter of the word Asher. What do you see? Rachel Mesa. Isn't that beautiful? In other words, in the actual Pasuk, you see that that you see that he's alluding, it's alluding to this point what Rashi is making. He's saying Rachel's Mesa finished. She's this dream can't be true. Amazing. Okay, now next idea. This is a fabulous idea.
Which word do I block?
From the words Hazeh Asher, take block out Aish, no fires.
It's highlighted.
Yeah, it's highlighted. Yeah. Okay, good. Let's go weiter. Now, then the next thing is the pasuk, paragraph 3. The pasuk says, Yisrael ahav es Yosef mikol bonov. Yisrael loved his Yosef with all the sons, ki ben zukunim hulay. V'asolei kusonis pasim. And he made for him a kusonis pasim. Now, the Mefarshim grapple with the concept of ben zukunim. Ben zukunim, the pasuk pshat is, he's the son of Yaakov's old age. And that's a problem. It's a problem on a couple of fronts. Number one, let's just do the maths. How old was Yaakov at this point? He was 63 at the time of the brachas, right? He went to Shem Ve'eva for 14 years. He was 77. He then goes to the house of Lavan. He works for Rachel for 7 years. He's 84 years old. Then he gets married. He waits a week. He marries Leah, of course, first. And then he marries Rachel another week. And then another 7 years. So the children are born. He gets married when he's 84. And Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun are born in the next period of approximately 7 years. So they're born from when he's 84 to 91 years old. And Yosef is born around that time as well, at the end, when he's about, probably when he's 91. So to single out Yosef, that you're the son of my old age, it's strange, because they're all born in that period of time. There's only a few years between them. That's number one. And the second obvious problem is that there's actually a son who's younger than Yosef. And if anyone's going to be called the Ben Zukunim, it should be Binyamin. So why is Yosef referred to as Ben Zukunim? Now the Mefarshim all give various pshatim and different explanations. All very, very interesting. Rashi learns that it's referring to the Chochmah. That's how the Targum translates it. Bar Chakimaya, I think he said. Where he says it's referring to the wisdom. And there's a fabulous Balaturim, which needs a Hisofa. The Balaturim says that Ben Zukunim refers to what Rashi is saying, that he's referring to the fact that Yaakov transmitted his Torah knowledge to Yosef. And Zukunim is a notrikon, it's an acronym. We know there's Shisha Sidra Mishnah. The way to remember it is Zman Nokat. Zman Nokat is Zroim, Moyed Noshim. Nokat is Nezikin and Kochim and Taharis. Says the Balaturim on the Pasuk, Zukunim is a reference to that. Why? Notrikon, paragraph 3, the notrikon of Zukunim is Zeroim, Kodshim, Noshim, that's Zokain. Yud is Yeshua, the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, says the first in Ezekin, and Mem is Moed. Good, that's the Balaturim. Zukunim refers to, if you like, Torah Shebal Peh. That's what that Yaakov transmitted to his son Yosef. The difficulty is, there are six Shisha Sidra Mishnah, and Zukunim has five letters. We're missing what? Taras, says the Chiddush Arim. Says the Chiddush Arim, I'll say the Taharis, sorry, Chodim Lamo v'litrach ba'atzmai. You can teach your kid everything, but ultimately Tahara, Yiras Shemayim, has got to come from yourself. It's got to be self-generated. And therefore, Zukunim, yeah, Yaakovina can teach you everything, but ultimately the kid has got to come from himself. You can take the horse to the water, as it were, but the ultimately, at some level, I said this over to the boys yesterday in school, we broke up yesterday. So, after davening, there's a Dvar Halacha, and then either Rabbi Harman or myself says Dvar Torah. So yesterday, I said the following Dvar. I said to them, you know, during term time, you've got to come to school, right? Your parents make you come to school, we make you come to school, you know, such is life. The real test of who you are is the next couple of weeks. When you've got a winter holiday, that's the real test, that's the real you. Whether you're going to daven a minyan, whether you're going to learn, whether, you know, you're a Shemayim, and that's the Dvar. We can teach you everything. But Tahara has got to come from you. Yiras Shemayim has got to come from you. Okay, now, the last idea, we'll see maybe the time for one more, but this idea is just magical. This I heard from Rabbi Bernstein. It's a fascinating thing. The parsha starts with dreams and ends with dreams. At the end of the parsha, we have the dreams of the butler and the baker. Now, there's something fantastic that is noted over here. Take a look at the last box. Vayisape Sar HaMashkim es chalom el Yosef. The Sar HaMashkim tells his dream to Yosef. We're familiar with the dream. He dreams about the grapes, and Yosef tells him, and he, in the dream, is busy, is active, and Yosef tells him it's going to be good news. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer LeYosef Zep Hisroinu Shloshesach Srogim Shlosh Yomim. In 3 days' time, you're out of here. All good. Along comes the baker, the Sar HaOifim, tells him his dream. Again, we're familiar with the dream. And the baker is bad news. Vayan, Vayosef, Vayomer Zep Hisroinu Shloshesach Srogim Shloshes Yomim. And in 3 days, it's all over. Okay, that's, we're familiar with the story. But take a look. I don't know if you've ever noticed before. Look how the Pasuk describes Yosef's response to the butler, to the Sar Hamashkim, and then to the baker, the Sar Ophim. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayoymer lo Yosef, to the butler, great news. Pasuk Yud Ches, Vaya'an Yosef Vayoymer. Why Vaya'an? Why not Vayoymer Yosef? Listen to this. So Rabbi Bernstein quoted Rabbi Moshe Landinsky. Rabbi Moshe Landinsky was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin. He was the Zayda of Rabbi Yankel Plitnik. We remember from here, from Hendon Hadass. So Moshe Landinsky was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin at the time of the Chofetz Chaim. And he gave the following answer to this question. Moshe Ma'adov Adoyme. Imagine, Rachman al-Islam, you have a family member who's desperately ill and they're having a very serious, long operation. The Mishpacha are very worried. They're in the waiting room outside. They say to the surgeon before the operation, look, this is a long operation, maybe up to about 10 hours. We're sitting in the waiting room, we're out of our minds. Could you come out at some point and just update us as to how things are going? Okay, I'll try. Halfway through the operation, after 5 hours, the surgeon comes out. Now imagine, it's good news to tell. He'll say to them, Rabbeisai, guys, so far it's going really well. We found what we needed to find. We're dealing with it. We think it's going to be okay. Good news. But imagine if he comes out halfway through and it's la'acha hayyush. What's he going to do? He realizes there's nothing they can do. So he comes into the waiting room. What's going to happen? They'll say to him, no, tell us what happened. What's going on? He'll be prompted to give a response. Says Moshe Landinsky. With the butler, vayomer lo Yosef. He initiates and he tells them it's good news. With the baker, Vaya'an Yosef Ayomer. He's prompted into a response. It's bad news. So he's got to be prompted into a response. There's time for one more thing. It's not on the sheet, but I'll tell you, it's Teresh Bal Peh. This is also from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. Something to spill over to next week. It's an interesting thing. Parshas Vayeshev, Yosef HaTzadik begins the parsha in a very elevated status. He's the Ben Zakunim, he's the cherished, beloved child of his father. And he ends the parsha in a prison in Mitzrayim. Fast forward to next week, Parshas Miketz. He starts off in that lowly position in prison. And then all of a sudden he's elevated. He ends the parsha, Parshas Miketz, as the viceroy of the whole of Egypt, the superpower of the day. Why the fall? Why the rise? Says Rabbi Bernstein, and he said this on a day between the two parshas, between Parshas Vayeshev and Parshas Miketz, and he was speaking under a chuppah, and he asked that question. And he said, I'll tell you the difference. Why the fall, why the rise? Because in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, as we said in the beginning, Yosef HaSadik says, Shimuno hachaloyim ashecholamti, listen to my dreams. He was imposing, he wanted other people to listen to what he wanted. But in the end of the parsha, and in the beginning of next week's surgery, when it comes to the butler and the baker and Paro's dreams, in the beginning of Miketz, he was listening to the dreams of others. If you listen to the dreams of others, you listen to each other, he said to Chosam and Kala, then that's going to be a successful end to your marriage. If you insist on your way that you listen to my dream, bad news. But if you want to hear the dreams of others and share their dreams, then that's the way to have success in marriage. Beautiful idea. So what have we said? 5 ideas, therefore, today. The first idea is the beautiful Beis Halevi. Why is it Vatishtachavena la'alumosi? And yet the second dream is Shtachavim li. The Teretz is, and also why is it Sinna and then Kinna? The Teretz is the Beis Halevi, because the first dream refers to material, physical success, financial success. So therefore, that's not intrinsic to the person. They're bowing down to his sheaf. Masha Inkin, in the second dream, which is referring to spiritual superiority, it's Mishtachavim Li. And that's why kinna is an appropriate expression to use, because it's a permitted, healthy type of kinna, kinna seifrim. Masha Inkin, in the first one, I'm not jealous of you, but there's a sinner because they were lording it over him. Then we said that beautiful dinner, that diuk of Rachel Mesa, that Yaakov Avinu was trying to calm things down and saying, listen, these dreams are hot air, they're all nonsense, it can't be true, your mother's no longer alive. But in the actual words, Ashech Olam Tehovei, that actually spells the words Rachel Mesa. Then we had this beautiful Chidush Arim, that the Balaturim says he bought a Pshat Ben Zakunim. So the Balaturim's take is that it's reference to the fact that he handed over the body of Torah knowledge as in Zman Nokat of Shisha Sidra Mishnah. Taurus is missing. Teretzis says the Chidush Arim, you can teach us on everything, but ultimately, Yerushamayim, Tahara, has got to come from the person, the child himself. Then you had the beautiful idea of Moshe Landinsky, Vayomer Yosef, Vayan Yosef, Vayomer. What's the difference? When it comes to good news, it's Vayomer Yosef. The butler had a positive interpretation. Vashenkein, Vayan Yosef, Vayomer. With the baker, it wasn't such good news. He had to be prompted into response. And then we have this idea of Rabbi Bernstein. Why is it we start the Sedra and then we go down? It ends in a pit, then the next Sedra he goes up. Because the difference is, if you're imposing your dreams on others, Shimuno Chalim as Shechalamti, that's bad news. But if you're listening to the dreams of others, that's a recipe for success.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Since a few heulos were made this week on for the Balakova, and somebody was staying in my house this week, and someone from Petach Tikva, he had a gabba, and the gabba told me this vort, and I thought, this will be something for Ronnie and for Yanki, mamash made to measure, because they're speaking about a trop, where you can see within the top something fascinating. So our last esteemed speaker spoke about Chusin Kala and how they respond, how they're thinking about other people's, their own dreams vis-a-vis other people's dreams. But look at this. If you've got the Chumash there with you, then you turn to page 112 in the blue one, and on Pusik, on Parsha Lamed Ches, in Pusik Tes Zayin, it starts to speak about the dialogue which happened between Yehuda and Tuma. And he thought that she was a loose woman because he kissed Suponeo. And then in Tes Zayin it says, Vayetele Uladech. So now starts the short dialogue between the two of them. So look at this. He says, Vayoyme huvunu avoy elayich, ki lo yuda ki kelusa. He didn't know it was his daughter. Vatoyme, so she responded. What would you give me? Vayoyme, Noicha Shalach, again, he is speaking, and then Vatoyme, she is responding. The third Pusik again, in Yitchetz, Vayoyme, Mua Eruven Ashtenach, what sort of guarantee are you going to give? Vatoyme, she says, Chosam Chif Selecho, Imatcha Shepyutecho, give me your staff, and your cloak, and your signature. So, we go back to the first one, Vayet Eleu Elatech. So Vayoyme is a Pashto. Vayoyme huvunu vayelaich. And what does she say to him? Vatoyme matiteni. Exactly the same. He starts with the Pashto. She responds with the Pashto. Next Pusik, Yitzayin. Vayoyme unoichi ashalach gedizim minatzoin. What does she respond? Vatoyme, exactly the same tneer, exactly the same trop. Im titen ayruvo in atshochechu, and the last one, vayoyme aravi, mu ayruvo in ashtein loch. Then what does she say? Vatoyme, exactly the same. Moir de keur. So the Yid said to me, that's what happens when you got the man or the lady speaking. In Yiddish they say, azovi megrizd. The way you speak to somebody, that's how you can expect that they're going to respond to you. And it's exactly the same here. He's speaking to her, and he's making application. He's speaking, and exactly the same way, if he speaks to her with a Pashto, she responds. The Pashto speaks to her with a Zukev Kudel, can expect the same. So it runs all the way through. It's a Moiradik Hashanadik. I thought it was very beautiful. Shet Lamas is... He spoke about the beginning of the Seder, he spoke about the end of the Seder, so I'll speak about the middle of the Seder. Pasha again, there between the famous Tzedakes, Poitiferas Vav, yeah, and there she almost gave up until finally she waited for the one day everybody's going there to serve the Avodah Zarah, Vatis Pesei, Bevigdoi, Vayunos, Vayetzai achitzu. So we're not going to go down the famous Kliyuka and also the Sipona, which Vayunos, Vayetzai, Vayetzai, all that. But let's go along the lines of the Chazal. Chazal say that he fled and he ran out of the room. Either he ran out to contain his own Yetzer Hara, like it's written in one of the Rishonim, and or he ran out of the room in order to flee from her and from her pursuit. But from this Vayunos, he was zoche to something very great. And also there's a diuk of this word hachutzo, which appears somewhere else in Bereishis. So Chazal say, which we're familiar with in Achim Shel Pesach, we speak the Ashvi Shel Pesach, we say, Hayom Ru Vayunos, Hayad Ein Yisef Leucha, everybody knows, Hayom Ru Vayunos, Ma Ru, what made the sea split? Haroina Shel Yosef. He saw the coffin of Yosef at Tzadik, and then this was the clinching point where the sea said, aha, Yosef is here, for this I part. And Klal Yisrael went through. Now, you do notice that the word hachutzo actually appears here four times. Vayutz, vayens, hachitzu, and he went hachitzu, he had it over and over. When the Rebbeinu Shloilam made the Bris Ben Absurim there by Avraham Avinu, it says there also the Lushan of hachitzu. Vayotze, oyse, hachitzu, and there Chazal say that the Rebbeinu Shloilam took him, so to speak, out of the laws of nature. And took him lemalu menakachuvim, which, so to speak, is like way beyond anything that has got to do with the laws of nature on this world. And he said to him, you cannot have a child al piteva, but if I take you out of the laws of nature and I'll take you lemalu menakachuvim, under those new mazulas, I tell you, Avruham will have a child. So the word achutzo has got something to do with a person escaping the laws of nature. Now, if you think about it, you take a 17-year-old boy, and the Gemur explains that this Aishas Poitifeta, Irina Yena Neweilester, she changed her outfits in the morning and in the evening. How do they say, by the Aguda convention, they say that the ladies change their outfits between each course. So here she did the same thing every morning for breakfast, and then she was wearing a Chanel in the morning, a Christian during the evening, and different putchy shoes. A ganze Serie, only to lure Yosef Atzadik into this Avaire. So nicht geholfen. So there you see a young man of 17, who's Lechoyre, Mamish, in a passionate place, and he overcame nature. He overcame his natural instincts. He went achutzo. He went way beyond anything that a normal, average, young, healthy, virile boy would do. So Meile, since he wasn't over the Avaira, we can understand that when Klal Yisrael faced going over the sea, and the sea said, 1 minute, the Rebbeinu Shlomo has given me the laws of nature. This sea flows. It goes in one direction. Why are you asking me suddenly to change the nature? To change the laws of nature, I should suddenly part and dry land should form here so that they should go across. Hayom Ru Vayunois, says it to him. The Yom Ru, what did he see? Ah, he saw Aroina Shel Yosef. Aroina Shel Yosef, there's a man who has actually defied nature. I too will defy nature, and therefore I will split in two and I will allow Klal Yisrael to go through because this is in the Cheretz for that. As we shine, the lushan of the Medrash Tanchim is Atu Nastu Hayoim, referring to Yosef Atzadik, Vayunos Vayaitse Hachitzu, you fled today and you ran away from the clutches from this bad woman, from this evil Poitifeta, yeah? Hayom, so therefore, Chayecha Hayom Yunis Mipnei Arunechu, one day will come that the sea will actually flee because of the vision of your coffin, and in that schist to be Hayom Ru Yunus Hayad Yosef Leucha. Got one chance for one more or not?
Yeah.
Very briefly, just to follow up, because he was saying about the diak of the dreams, I'll just tell you a hula which I made. I think it's correct, because it says there, at the beginning of the first dream, it says there that, Kum Wali Musi V'gam Nitzuvu. Kumalimusi vegam nitzuma means that the sheaf starts to rise and then it's got two extra words there. What does the Torah have to add here to say to you, Kumu alimusi vegam nitzuma? If the sheaf was in a lying position and it stood up, that's the end of the story. That means it stood up. What does it vegam nitzuma? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi also has a problem with that. And Rashi mentions the allusion of niskefu. Right at the beginning, it says there, quick look at Rashi. It says the Vegam Nitzuvo Lamoid Alam Omdo Beskifo. The first one was Kumalimusi that it started to get out. Niskefu is allusion for Zoike Kefufim, like somebody who's bent over and he's starting to find his position. But then after the Vegam Nitzuvo is Lamoid Almud Beskifo, to stand in a robust, direct place. So look at now, the Diak is the Chmoyre Diak, because Yosef HaTzadik's history went in the following graph. Here we had the man, like he said before, who was in the height of things, he was Yosef HaTzadik, but then he was sold into slavery by his brothers. But finally he came into Potiphar's house, palace of the great minister there. What happened? Potiphar, as he endeared himself to him, and as he saw the integrity of Yosef, Yosef is Chol Asher B'Yudai, Hashem Atzlich B'Yudai, then he says, Chitz Min Alechem Asher Hi Oichel, that's as if to say that Yosef HaTzadik was simply had an open check. He was running the entire organization and business of Potiphar, and there were no questions asked. So on the graph, he's going up to a very powerful position. What happened? Unfortunately, very regretfully, he fell into the clutches of this Nevaidester, this the Mrs. Petifeta, and she saw to it to cover herself that he should go into jail in order to see that she should not appear in the Vogue magazine with a big scandal. So in Maile, he went down for 12 years into jail, and he sat there with the lowest of Egyptian lowlifes. And so down the graph has gone down. But then, next week, Sedrin, Pashas Miketz, comes along King Paro, and they're looking for somebody to interpret the dream by Yiritzim and Abor. In 1 second, they took him out, and on the very same day, he's riding the king's horse, and they're saying, Veikerofunov Avreich, Kuchi Usulish, Mamish, Amure de Kalia, and he stayed there in that position as the viceroy and the powerful second in command of the whole of the superpower of Egypt until the last day of his life. Now you've got the Diak in the dream. Kumwali Musi was the first one, because that was only a question of Niskefu started to rise, because it looked like that in Potiphar's house. He was given a place where he was given a position of trust. But then the second party afterwards, he went down in a nosedive, crashed into Tvisa, and he was sitting in prison for so many years. But then the Gam Nitzuvo, on the way up, he went up. Nitzuvo means that he stood Lamoid Melech, he was robust, and he stood there in the position of Mishneh Lemelech until the end of his life. Chaps.
Rashi says that, yeah, because he started doing his hair and
I did, yeah.
So that's you.
I'll put it back.
Okay, right. I'm coming, it's from 3:30.